Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 5, he starts out and he says, "But now I'm going to wait to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you have grief because of what I've told you. But in fact, it's best for you. It is best for you. It is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I don't go away, then I can send him to you. He comes. He will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and the coming judgment. The world's sins is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't hear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will speak not on His own, but He will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I say the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. In a while you won't see me anymore. But a little while after that you will see me again." And some of the disciples have asked, "What does He mean when He says, 'In a little while you won't see me, but you will see me again'? I am going to the Father." And what does He mean by "a little while"? We don't understand. Jesus realized that they wanted to ask Him about it, so He said, "Are you asking yourselves what I mean? And I said, 'A little while you won't see me, but a little while after that you will see me.' I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and He will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name and you will receive and you will have an abundant joy. For the Father Himself loves you dearly because you love me and because that I came from God. Yes, I say from the Father into the world that I came to the Father from the world. And now I will leave the world and return to the Father." Then His disciples said, "At last you're speaking clearly." They finally get it. They finally understand. He says, "Do you finally believe me? But the time is coming, and indeed is now here, when you will be scattered, each one of you going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you all of this." Listen, "I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have what? You will have troubles. You will have trials. But take heart, because I have overcome the world." There's two things Jesus says. Look, we got two guys that are here, extra people that have come to church today. This is something that Jesus says to His disciples. He says to them, He says two words in this text today. He says, it is your advantage that I leave. Now, for these disciples, it didn't feel like an advantage. Jesus was their safety net. Jesus was the thing that they had held on to for all those years. He was the thing that gave them stability as a group. And now He says to them, "I'm going away, I'm leaving." And He says, "It's to your advantage that I leave." How is that possible? How is it possible that it's good for Jesus to go? How is that possible? Could you imagine these 11 disciples? They're terrified. Jesus, why would you have to leave? But He says, "It's to your advantage." It's kind of like a parent. A parent that says to their kids when they're being disciplined, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." I'm like, "I assure you it does not. I assure you, this does not hurt you more than it hurts me. It's like a girl that has broken up with a guy. It says, this is better for the both of us if we find someone else. No, I assure you, this does not feel like it is good for me. But Jesus says, this is to your advantage. This is good for you. Can I tell you this? That sometimes God will put us in places of suffering. And it's not necessarily that He puts us there. Like, I don't believe God gave me this cancer. I don't believe. But I absolutely believe He could have stopped it. He allowed it. And there's so many people that don't know why, and they come up to me and they say, why would this happen to you? And I think to myself, you know, why doesn't this happen to the person that's horrible to their kids? Why doesn't this happen to a rapist? Why doesn't this happen to somebody that deserves this? Why me? But I know why. It's because I have a hope that other people don't have, that the world does not have. Jesus gives them a warning. He gave us a warning last week when I was here that they would be hated by the world and that they were going to face persecution and that all of them would die. Every single one of them would die. The only one that didn't die from persecution was John. And he went through. They boiled this man in oil alive and he didn't die. So they said, well, you can't kill him. Let's put him out on an island by himself so he can't preach to anybody. But Jesus keeps going through his farewell speech. And he tells them, it is for your benefit that I leave. It is for your good that I go. Your advantage. I thought about that. I thought, what if we had Jesus here with us today? What, like physically, like I know He's here spiritually. I know His Spirit is here. I know that. But what if we had Him physically here on earth still? It would be like this. He comes to Kelloggsville and we like have numbers that go out like you couldn't fit in the parking lot. Nobody would want to hear me preach. Nobody would want to hear the worship. They would just say, hey, let Jesus talk. But then the next week when He's down or over in Pennsylvania speaking and preaching and He leaves here, or maybe you're praying, you're saying your prayer and He's right there with you, and then all of a sudden Titus starts to pray, and he says, hold on a second, I got to go. I can't hear your prayers. I got to go over here and talk to Titus for a minute. I mean, how hard would that be for Jesus to speak, to preach, for Him to physically be here? Jesus says it is to your advantage. It didn't feel like it was their advantage. The idea is this. Jesus, God sometimes puts us in places that do not feel comfortable, that do not feel good. Because He said, trouble, tribulation, those things. I mean, who was it that said, did anybody real think that they were honestly going to get out of this life without tribulation, without trouble, without sickness, without heartache, without death, without all those things? I mean, where was the line that we could have stood in to get that, right? Where was the sign-up sheet that was getting passed around for us to put our names down for that to not happen, right? Every single one of us are going to face trials and tribulations. The reason that I think about this is I think about John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was preaching and he goes to jail, he's put in prison because he's preaching the truth about God. He preaches that there's sexual immorality that's happening with the Herod, the king, and his cousin. And he gets put in jail. And he sends somebody to Jesus to say, hey, Jesus, ask him, find out, are you the one or should we look for another? And Jesus says this, he says, go tell John that the blind receive their sight, that the lame walk, that the poor are being taken care of. You know that's a scripture from Isaiah? Did you know that the thing that Jesus tells the disciples to go tell John is a scripture from Isaiah? And you know what the scripture from Isaiah says? It says that the blind receive their sight, that the lame are healed, that the poor are taken care of. And the last thing it says, and Jesus left this off, and the prisoners are set free. Jesus didn't say that to John. Jesus says, yeah, John, I'm the one, but you're going to stay in jail, you're going to stay in prison, and you're going to die there. Why do we always assume that everything's supposed to turn out for the best, that we're not going to go through troubles and tribulations and trials? Why? Jesus did? Are you any better than Him? We all go through troubles. We all go through struggles. Jesus, in the last scripture there, He says to them, I can promise you without a shadow of a doubt, you are going to face trials and tribulations. It's the thing that He promises. But the thing is, the next thing He offers is His peace in the middle of those trials and tribulations and troubles. In this world, you will have troubles and tribulations and problems and sickness. You will have those things. But be of good cheer. What? Be of good cheer. Jesus says this to the disciples. I want to read 1 Corinthians 4. I think it's going to be on screen today. And this is John. This is Paul. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, and he says to them, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles. We are crushed, but we are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through sufferings, our bodies continue to share the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Christ will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death. All day long we live in the face of death. You have no guarantee of going out this driveway and making it home today. You think you will. You have no guarantee of waking up tomorrow morning. You know, when I started going through this journey, when I went into Nashville to Vanderbilt, and they said that you're going to have surgery, I thought, well, we'll have some time to analyze what's going on and kind of get our stuff together. That's what we're going to have time to do that. But the doctor says no. In fact, it's so serious that I have cleared the spot and I've booked you for this next day. And there's something that happens when you get into those situations of suffering. You begin to evaluate things in life. And one of the things that I evaluated was, am I good with God? Is my relationship there? I even asked my wife, I said, do you think that I'm going to heaven? Do you think that I'm there? And she's like, I don't think you deserve it. And I said, absolutely I don't deserve it. That's why Christ had to come, so that I could get access to the Father and get to heaven. Another thing is that I started to do this thing, like I started to worry, I started to make an idol out of things. I started making an idol out of my wife, and I started to make an idol out of my daughter, and out of my job, and out of the church, and out of all those things. And the problem was, I said to God, what about my family? What about my wife? What about my daughter? What about the church? And it was one of those things where God kind of says to me, hey, those weren't yours to begin with. Those are all mine. I'm a better husband than you are. I'm a better father than you'll ever be. I'm a better pastor. That's my church. That's not your church. I had to evaluate the things in my life. It's made me more compassionate to people that are going through struggles. I pray more. A lot more. And not just for me, for the people that I meet, like Kelly at Cleveland Clinic. Jesus promised us that the Holy Spirit would come and that His coming would be to our advantage. And that His coming would mean that He was our advocate. He was the one that fought for us. And He's the one that convicts the world of sin. He's the one that convicts the world and shows them that their sin will take them to hell if they don't have Christ in their lives. But honestly, this is what we are all called to do as followers of Christ. You say, well, I'm not called to be a preacher or a missionary. I'm not called to be a teacher. And I'm not called to do those things. Guess what? If you carry the name of Christ in you, you are called to do those things. It doesn't just fall on me. It doesn't just fall on the pastor. We're all called to share the gospel with every person that is around us because we don't want them to go to hell. We want them to find Christ, to find God, to realize that there's more to this world than the things that we see right in front of us. Even Paul says it in that scripture. So we don't look at the troubles that we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone. This cancer someday will be completely gone. I have a resurrection body that is hot as anything you could ever see. The resurrection body that God has planned for me would blow your mind. But someday all the things that we see are going to be gone. But we, as human beings, are eternal. And my question for you is this. What troubles are you facing right now? What adversity, what suffering are you going through right now? Because I've had people say to me, you know, my suffering's not, I'm going through this, but it's nothing compared to what you're going through, Titus. No, suffering is suffering. Suffering is suffering. If you're suffering, you're going, well, it's not, oh, my cancer's not as bad as the people that are going through trials and tribulations in Sudan, the Christians that are being murdered. No, it's suffering is suffering. Regardless of what, it's not a suffering contest. Like I'm the better sufferer, but the thing that Jesus told me, and the thing that I have gotten into in my head, is that I am bold enough to believe that He can do more in my suffering than I could do without my suffering. And my question to you is this. Are you willing to suffer well? And what does that mean, suffer well? What that means is that in our suffering, we endure that suffering. You know that when Jesus left this earth, and He told the disciples to go out and preach. They began to go out and preach, and the people in Jerusalem didn't like it. They were healing people to the point where the people were bringing their sick on these mats. They were bringing the demon-possessed, and the disciples were healing them. So much so that the beds that they were bringing these sick people on began to pile up in the streets. Isn't that a cool thought? That they were leaving their beds behind because they were going back home? The leaders in Jerusalem hated it. So they had them brought in and they began to beat them. They began to torture them, saying to them, you got to stop talking in that guy's name. You have to stop preaching and teaching and healing in that man's name. So they took them and beat them. And you know what Scripture says in Acts chapter 5? They rejoiced. They counted it joy to be persecuted for the name of Christ. Do you suffer well? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm telling you, Satan's after me hard. I didn't want to come today. I don't feel good. Infusion Friday, the chemo 2 weeks ago, sick as a dog. But I know this. I want to suffer well. Not so everybody says, man, look at Titus. He's such a great guy. He's suffering. He's going through all this and he's still trying to do that. No, because I want to give up. I would love for hospice to come in and just let me stay home. Let me just relax. Let me just go through. But that's not what God called me to do. That's not what God called me to do. He called me knowing that I would have seizures, knowing that I would have issues, knowing that I would have this cancer. He called me knowing that. And I want my life to be an example. Hey, if Titus can go through hell and cancer and go to church and serve the Lord and still have a smile on his face and still have laughter and joy in his heart, if he can go through that, so can I. I'm not going to let the devil pull me back. And if I die doing this, isn't it greater to die doing what God's called me to do than to sit on the sideline and let the devil get victory? He's not doing that in my life. He's not doing that in my life. I have a greater calling and a greater purpose. And if I have to do it sitting on the ground, I'll praise the name of Jesus laying in a bed. Nothing's going to stop that. Nothing's going to stop that in my life, and I hope that becomes you too, and that you will say, not I want to be like Titus, because I'm not doing this on my own strength. I'm doing it through the power of God. There's no other thing that I could do it through. So if you're suffering today, if you have suffering in your life, maybe there's things in your life of health issues, financial issues, marriage problems, problems with your work, your job, whatever's going on in your life that you're suffering through right now, I want to pray over you, because I truly believe with all my heart that suffering is to our advantage, because we suffer for the glory of God. If you're suffering this morning, I would love it if you would just raise your hands. If there's something in your life that you're suffering through right now, maybe it's physical, maybe there's sickness, maybe there's pain, whatever those things, maybe there's sorrow, depression, whatever it is. Maybe it's drug addiction, maybe it's a sexual addiction, whatever those things are. I'm praying right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every individual with their hands raised this morning. I'm asking you, Father, that you would help us to suffer well for your glory. That even though it might not look pretty to the world, it might not look great to the world might say, you know, you don't have to suffer. We know that Jesus tells us that in this world we're going to have trouble. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have problems. We're going to have pain. We're going to have issues, sickness. But he said, take heart. Be of good cheer. Lift your head up. For I have overcome the world. For we do not look to the things that we can see, but we look to the things which we cannot see. We fix our eyes on that which we cannot see. Because you are working things out for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' powerful name, I pray that each one of your struggles, each one of your sufferings, that you would suffer well. In Jesus' powerful name, I pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace.